Blog Talk Radio.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice
and we will be glad in it. We are so blessed today to have you, our radio audience, with us once again. As we begin to encounter a part of counseling that I'm sure that there will be many people that are very interested in what we have to say on today, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome to our broadcast Dr. June Mormill, Dr. Gloria Castor, and we thank God for the Christian counselors that God has given us on the Crossroads broadcast. They are professional, and they have been trained to be able to teach and to also to preach the Word of God, and they have something that you need to know and that we want others to know as well. So as we say on the Crossroads broadcast, why don't you get your paper and your pen, and why don't you take some notes so that just in case that one of our speakers, as we come to you today, and you can't most likely remember everything that we say, but if you get that paper and that pencil, and you jot some things down that you think that you would like to go back and read or share later, then you can do so at that time. So why don't we get ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. That word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Father, we thank you, God, because you are the King of kings. God, we thank you, God, that you are the Lord of lords. We thank you, God, that you are the one, God, that we can call on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We thank you, God, today for being our greatest counselor. And Father, we ask thee, God, today, even as each person, each individual, God, whether they're are in Texas or Chicago, Father, whether they're in Hawaii, whether they may be listening to this broadcast, Lord, we ask thee, Lord, even now, God, that you, God, would give them what they need. And God, call what we say, God, will be according to thy word. And this we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Today, we're going to be talking about child rearing and parental guidance. And our subtopics today will be the Bible and child rearing. And we're going to talk about the causes of child rearing and problems. And then we're going to talk about the effects of child rearing. So at this time, we're going to go right to Dr. Gloria Castor, and she's going to come to us, and she's going to talk about the causes of child rearing problems. Dr. Gloria Castor.
Talk about the causes causes of child rearing problems. And one of the things I'd like to say as a new parent, they likely feel anxiously about the responsibility that they have taken to having children. Not only does their new arrival depend on it, for everything that you know, you will help mold and shape the type of your person, the child, and become a teaching, you know, a teaching for your parent, for your child. And many times, you know, not all partners are going to share the same philosophies when it comes to rearing the children, their children. When you might be one might be a sharp disciplinary, the other one might be a calm, a more smooth type person, but nevertheless, as parents, we always want to make sure that we rear our child in the way because we love our children. Our children is a blessing from God. So we really want to make sure that our children have the best. So when we look at complex theories of child development and psychopathological and describe how new young people mature and why problems develop, let's look a little bit at what scientists have analyzed the cause root of diverse issues such as mental retardation, childhood depression, a variety of learning disorders, speech pathology, excess rebellion, violence, childhood schizophrenia, and the difficulties many young people have in adjusting to frequent moves, and then some parenting, divorces, periods of hospitalizations, adoption, and other early stresses. Some may question the conclusion that they have learned more about babies and older children in the past 20 years than we have learned in the previous 2000. But most will agree that the more we learn, the more complicated the problems seem to become. So I want to speak a little bit on six of the problems that we seem to have, because at times children and their parents do not even agree on what constitutes a problem. A parent may view disobedience as a source of family stress, but the child may not see this as a problem at all. An issue that might not be a problem at one age, for example, bedwetting, only becomes a major issue if the persistence into older childhood or adolescence. Sometimes the neighbor or school officials may think that a child has a problem, but the parent may disagree. So you don't always agree, and particularly if it's your child, you're with them more than anyone else can, and you see their problems, you see what they go through, you see their goods, you see their ups, you see their downs. So despite their differences, several themes appear repeatedly in discussion about the cause of child-rearing problems. So let's look at a few of the child-rearing problems. Neglect or abuse of the spiritual. Psychology textbooks almost never recognizes the spiritual basis of child development. But this is important to the biblical writing because in Psalms 78:1-8, for example, it emphasizes the child should receive spiritual instructions so they will put their faith in God. So God is the number one person that we need to put and that we need to learn first. Even in the womb, you should start molding your child and talking to your child about God. So God is the number one person that needs to be in a child's life. Remember, his faithfulness and not become unruly, stubborn, or rebellious. Now, perhaps there is no well-designed research comparing the adult behavior of children who have religious training with those who do not. But the scriptures clearly teach that biblical education is beneficial to children. Its absence is surely harmful. Equally harmfully, no doubt, is a rigid in doctrine that crams religion into young minds, pictures God as a stern and boring disciplinarian, and leaves no room to let the young parent ask questions and grow into spiritual maturity. So we want to make sure that we look at the religious side in raising our children, because God should be the number one source. Number two, instability in the home. When parents cannot cope with their stress or when they do not get along with each other, children can feel anxious, guilty, and angry. And, you know, when you have disagreement in the home, it affects the child as well. They are anxious because the stability of the home is threatened. Sometimes when there are divorces or a thing that goes on, the child a lot of times will feel like maybe guilty, like they might have been the cause of it. Guilty because they suspect that they may cause the strife and anger because they often feel left out. forgotten, and sometimes manipulated in taking sides, which they do not want to do. Sometimes there is a fear of being abandoned physically or psychologically, because a child is, they love both parents, and a home with two parents is always the best way, because that's what God has set up. That's the first, that God set up the first institution was the church. He set up the church with a husband and a wife and children. So we know that to escape the pressure and often to express their anger, thousands of young children run away from home in an effort to find security elsewhere, when we know that that will not be the case. Sometimes it's always good to be with your parent if you have a home that is stable. Now, there are sometimes that things come into homes that causes separation from parents, but it's always good to be with the parent. Parents. Sometimes youth counselors has used the term throwaway kids to describe children who are victim of parental instability. Instability in the home can lead to a variety of behavior problems in children. Failing grades is one of them. Conflict with other children, petty crimes can all indicate problems at the home and a cry out for help. And many times that's overlooked. On a more serious level, researchers have found that children who deliberately set fires are frequently from home where there is family conflict, communication breakdown, and parental psychopathological. Although many children survive family stress and grow into normal, successful, and well-adjusted adults, it remains true that unstable homes tend to produce unstable children. Now, when we look at the psychological abuse, that's number three. The psychological abuse of children is an issue that we discuss more fully in the next chapter. When we look at the psychological part of children, less notice of the actions of the parents who never hurt their children physically but abuse them psychologically. When we are rejected subtly or overwhelmed, nagged, and criticized excessively, punished unrealistically, or not at all, disciplined inconsistently, humiliated persistently, shown love sporadically, personal problems, or showed disruptive behavior that in turn are annoying to the parents. Children develop experts have alerted us to harmful efforts of parental overprotection, overpermissiveness, and overstrictness. Now, when we look at the part of unmet needs, which is number four, psychologists do not always agree on what is included in any listing of basic needs. The needs for security, acceptance, discipline, or encouragement are included in most lists. Some counselors have noted that handicapped, retarded, or gifted children have special needs that differ from those of their peers. Most important, however, is the need. Love love in a home can cover, just put the child in a place to feel secure, put the child in a place to walk in obedience, even if they might fall short. They trust their parent, and they have to know how to trust and feel protected by the parent. I want to move on down to physical influence. Generations of parents and pediatricians have known the prolonged illness, hospitalization, and surgery can all confuse and disrupt to children. The amount of disruption will depend on the nature of illness, the organ system affected, the type of treatment required, the reactions of parents or other significant adults, and the child's ability to cope. The stress of serious illness often leads to intense anxiety, negativism, withdrawal, resentment of parents, fear, and other psychological reactions. Illness is difficult for any of us to handle. It is especially hard for children. I want to speak a little bit on mental retardation, and then I'm going to go down to number six. Mental retardation, according to somewhat formal language of America, Association of Mental Deficient, the mental retardation refers to significant sub-average intellectual functioning existing concurrently with deficiency in adopted behavior and mismanifested during the development period. Most of these people are madly retarded, show no obvious signs of their intellectual defects, and are able to learn and sequentially can hold simple jobs. Of the more severe forms of retardation, Down syndrome is probably the best known, largely because of the distinctive facial features of the child. I want to talk a little bit on the ADD, attention deficiency disorder. It can be estimated that half of all children brought to mental health clinics come because of what they come to be known as ADD, attention deficient disorders. The symptoms often persist throughout life, but they tend to be spotted first in grade school. Inability to concentrate, to pay attention, distractibility, impulsiveness, impatient, inability to relax, hyperactivity, disorganization, mood swings, feeling of low confidence, difficulty in getting along with peers, sleep disorder, and anxiety are among the symptoms of people who are always on the go to feel if they are driven in an internal motor. I want to go to number six, and then I will close out. Number six says other influences, and so we know that there are other things that can cause a child to have child-rearing problems as well. And the two facts needed to remember when we consider these issues, first, it appears that most children grow up normally in spite of parental mistakes and failures, even when the home has abuse, psychotic, or desperately poor parents. Many children sometimes cause invincible or super kids, responding by developing extraordinary competence. Poor home situations do not always produce poor children. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Gloria Castor for giving us those insights on the causes of child-rearing problems. And I'm quite sure that if you have any children or if you have relatives that children are having problems, you may want to be able to help in some way. When you see, you may be a teacher, aide, or whatever responsibility that you may have towards children, maybe you'll be able in order to help in some way. You know, the Word of God says, in all our ways, acknowledge Him, and He said that He will direct our path. And I just believe that whatever we do, we have to do it in the name of Jesus. I believe that we have to have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding in order to train, in order to help in ways that others may seem to be very difficult. Yesterday, we were talking about child rearing and parental guidance. We talk about the causes. This is what Dr. Gloria Castor, she came and she talked about the causes of child rearing problems. And what I want to bring to the forefront of today, when we are talking about our child rearing and parental guidance, I would like to talk about a young man first, name that was Kevin. And the teacher called him a troubler, a child. His parents called him unmanageable. His peers called him a variety of derogatory names. The neighbors called him a spoiled brat. And sometimes they called the police. Although he was only 13 years old and still had a boy-sized body, Kevin could swear like a trooper. He had already had created more havoc than all of the other kids in the neighborhood combined. Kevin was constantly at odds with his parents. Now, you may know a Kevin, or you may know a Jane that have experienced some of the problems that Kevin was experiencing, that the teacher was experiencing, that his peers and his neighbor was experiencing. So we see that he had problems in his neighborhood. Kevin was constantly at odds with his parents as well. He was in conflict with teachers and he was unable to get along with his peers. Kevin had three sisters who hated him, and his presence at Sunday school always disrupt the class. And you know, sometimes when you say, when brothers and sisters say they hate one another, I think that's a really strong word. And I really don't believe that they hated him, but because of the things that he did, because of him not being able to be a part of, effective part of the family, then it was difficult for them in order to get along with this young man at the age 13 years old. The neighbors in the neighborhood, they knew that it was a problem. They knew Kevin. They knew him because of what he did, where he acted. They knew him because the way that one time he used spray paint and he did graffiti on the side of the local supermarket. Twice he had been caught shoplifting. Once he was suspected of starting a fire in a neighborhood garage. So his guilt was never proven. In an effort to reform their son, the parents sent him to a boarding school 1 year. And the discipline was strict, and Kevin seemed to respond well to the routine, but his behavior was even more out of control when he came home. The school scheduled a conference for Kevin. The juvenile authority discussed his case. The family doctors prescribed some tranquilizers for him. You know, sometimes we hear about kids going on meds and they taking Ritalin, they taking different things in order to calm them down, in order to for them to be able to be teachable. Sometimes they were trying to find everything that they could do in order to get Kevin in control. And this is what was happening. They were trying to get this young man in control. So when we look at them giving him tranquilizers, and the parents went for counseling, and also Kevin went for counseling, but the parents went to one place, Kevin went to another place, and eventually the whole family was involved. The problem was accelerated by the prominence of his parents. Kevin's father was a successful gynecologist, and his mother was involved in local politics. Both were active in their church. Both of them did things. I don't know how much activity that they had with Kevin, but it seems like with the responsibilities that they had outside of the home, they wondered whether or not the parents were, whether or not they were spending enough time with Kevin. Both of the parents, they were active in the church. The counselor wondered if the parents were neglecting their son. You know, sometimes as a counselor, you try to come up with what's really going on with the counselor, with that child, or with the father, with the mother, and what you are listening, and most of all, as we began two of the broadcasts began, we were saying that the Word of God said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So many things that children, whether they are in preschool or elementary school or junior high school or whatever, there is a reason why they behave in the way and the manner that they behave. They didn't know whether or not Kevin was seeking attention. Some children do. Sometimes they do act out because they're not getting enough attention from their parents. And so they'll do things in order to get their attention. But Kevin's behavior didn't seem to change regardless of what their the mother, father did, whether they spent time with him or not. It seems like it did not help him. The boy, which was Kevin, he was very sincere. When he did something that was wrong, he was very apologetic, and he vowed that he wouldn't do what he did before. But it's just like mechanically, sometimes it's something that's going on in the sight of a child, an individual, that they need some help. And sometimes the people, like the school teacher, and sometimes like the neighbors and people around here, but even the parents, don't know what is going on, how to solve the problem, how to get their son, you know, and back on the road of success, and to make him to be that responsible young man that wants to learn. So some of the men in the church had concluded that Kevin must be, that he had demons. And a lot of times people say something, and they don't know the answer for some things. And I'm not saying that sometimes there may not be, have a demonic type problem, but sometimes that when you don't, they don't know what is going on, then they'll say, well, that child is, they need an exorcist. He's demonic, something wrong with them, you know, when they can't really figure out the problem, what's going on. So one day, Kevin's grandmother read an article about a chemical imbalance. And I don't know, do you know much about a chemical imbalance? I have been involved with people that have chemical imbalances. And when people have chemical imbalances, it sometimes it spirals. It causes people like Kevin to do some of the things that he don't want to do, but yet in his brain it caused him to react and to do things that are disorder. You know, with the normal part of the brain was telling him something to do right. Then that chemical imbalance that they have will cause that child to act up. So. As I said, one day Kevin's grandmother read the article about a chemical imbalance that sometimes leads to hyperactivity and childhood behavior. So when you think about that, that could apply to what was happening to this young man. Excuse me. The parents were at their wits and were not much interested in some new theory about their son's behavior. You know, sometimes parents, you know, they struggle, they do this and do that for their child, and it seems like it's not helping. But I would like to tell you today, don't ever give up on your child. You know, don't ever throw your hands in the air and say that it's no help for him or her. You know, number one is that all our help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and earth. The Bible says, even with David said, I will lift up my eyes. Where have your eyes been lifted? The word says, I will lift up my eyes to the hill where cometh my help. The word of God said, my help coming from the Lord who has made the heaven and the earth. So there is always help, even when you don't know what to do. and you don't know, and it seems like you don't know where to turn. But I'm saying today that you must always turn to God for your help, for whether it's you or for your loved one. Sometimes we don't understand sometimes what it's all about and what they're doing. But yet, if we can give it to God and to be able to seek his face in behalf of what may be happening in their lives. Secretly, the father had even concluded, he didn't probably speak it out, but he included that Kevin would become a juvenile delinquent and probably spend the rest of his life in jail. Isn't that something? You know, all he seen was negativity and things about his son. But it had to be a reason why this young man was doing the things that he was doing. Nevertheless, at the grandmother's urging, Kevin was taken to a well-known clinic, and where he was seen by a specialist in chemical disorder. The physician prescribed a treatment, a program consisting of a change in diet, and the use of medication that would correct the imbalance in Kevin's system. Thank God for a grandmother. Thank God for those mothers and fathers that would stand in the gap and that would not give up and that persistent in what they know that because of the fact that they love them. You know, sometimes it was a navel. Sometimes you will call it whatever you want to call it. You'll call it what everybody else is calling it. But when you have somebody in your life that you love, and then you're not going to really give up on them. And the same way is the one that even if the person didn't belong to you, that you ought not to give up on them because God did never and would never give up on us. So therefore, when they had treated this young man on his diet and medication, there was a radical change in Kevin's behavior. He and his family continued counseling for a while, but before long, Kevin went back to school and he tried to catch up because he had a lot of catching up to do because so much he had missed, so many ways he didn't apply himself, so many ways he couldn't apply himself. Even if he wanted to do it. Remember I was saying that he felt real sorry after he did something? But he had a chemical imbalance that was operating, that was causing him to do some of these things that was what was would bring harm to himself or to others. Excuse me. His behavior problems were largely had disappeared, and everybody was grateful because of the fact that this young man had got some help. I just wanted to just say just this, just a little bit, because it's very important what the Bible says about child rearing. Children in the Bible are seen as a gift, and they are gifts from God, and that they can bring both joy and sorrow. Young people are to be loved, honored, and respected as a person. They are important and in God's kingdom, and they are not to be harmed. Now, somebody ought to hear what I'm saying. I hope that you just jotted that down and noted that. Children are also given responsibility to honor and respect their parents, care for them, listen to them, and to be obedient. Children should obey their parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. When we read in Ephesians 6, 1 and 3, it's honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. So it's important for you to honor your mother and father. Elsewhere in his writing, Paul strongly criticized childhood disobedience, but it seems unlikely that children are expected to obey forever. They should obey. If you're going to obey if they bring the children up, sometimes they may turn away, but when you bring them up the way that God has instructed you to bring them in, they'll come back, you know. And what God expects for the children, God expects for the parents as well, for the parents to real, to lead, to guide, and to direct their children. There's some more things that we can say today, but for life of time, we want you to just remember those things that Dr. Gloria Casta said about the causes of child rearing. And remember the things that we talked about on the day about catching and also what the Bible said. Now we're going to get ready and we're going to go to the effects of child rearing problems. And we're going to
thank you, Dr. McCoy. My topic today is the effects of child rearing problems. The effects of child rearing problems. And first of all, I'm going to define what child rearing is. It is the process of promoting and supporting the physical, emotional, social, and intellectual development of a child from infancy to adulthood. And as we know, that raising children can be a hard and emotional experience. And it also could be very rewarding and pleasant. The decision you make as a parent, it will affect your child as he or she grows up. It is important to use positive parenting methods to raise a child that is happy, healthy, and self-confident. But just as positive parenting helps you raise happy children, negative parenting can have adverse effects on your child and your children as they grow up. Also, the Bible is the one and first more authoritative voice we have concerning child rearing problems. And you may already have heard about a story in 1 Samuel about Eli, who was a judge, and he was a priest in the Old Testament. You might have heard about him, he being a prophet. Anyway, he received a message from God. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Norman. We're listening.
Oh, okay. Praise God. Yes. And you may have heard about the story about Eli. In your Sunday school class, and maybe you might have heard it through a story somewhere else, but it's in the Bible in 1 Samuel. And he was a priest, and he had two sons. And one thing about Eli, he had to his two sons, they wasn't disciplined. They was priests in the temple and everything, but Eli didn't discipline his child, his children. He let them do anything they want to do, and because of that, because his failure to deal with their rebellious actions, the children and Eli had a bad end. They had a bad end. And also Samuel, when he was a little boy, he grew up, you know, in the home of Eli. He talked to Eli, you know, about things. He let him know what was going on, that God was going to use him. He also had problems with his children, unfortunately. But Bible doesn't say if Samuel was a parent that did not discipline his child or not, but it did say that his children grew up, you know, in a way that it was dishonest, it wasn't pleasing to God. But when children and parents have problems that occur together, it can influence both the parents and the child, and that sometimes causes child pathology. And what that is, it is the scientific study. It's the nature of the disease, what it causes, what it processes, development, and the consequences of it. And it's a lot of things that cause when the effects of it, when they go to that direction, it's because it can have cause childhood depression. And we know commonly now childhood depression has become more noticeable and perhaps more common. In addition to feeling sadness or deep disappointment, depressed children, they often withdraw and they refuse to eat. They are apathic and have physical complaints. And sometimes they run away and show you know, illness and aggression or immobility. All children, you know, who show each of these periodically, but their prolonged appearance indicate that some troublesome underlying problem occurred before they even got to that point. If something had to happen at the beginning that caused that, and when you don't deal with it as far as raising your children, it goes to, like I say, the whole man when you talk about child rearing a child. It's not so much as that discipline them or beating them. It goes all with every area of them. It goes with their developmental ability. It goes with their thinking, everything, their lifestyle, all of that. And all of that could bring out a negative consequence or something positive. That's why you have to be careful how we raise our children in every area of their life. We have to impart in them positive attributes that will cause them to be healthy. Yeah, that's part of being a childbearing, because when we don't, and like I was saying, talking about childhood depression, the children come out with a lot of more other underlying problems they be not aware of. And then it gets to the point that some children get to the point they try to escape from their attention, and they do that by way of suicide. And a lot of times, the suicide rate, unfortunately, is so high. It's a high percentage of children commit suicide based on just being depressed. And a lot of times that comes from a root problem of not being real in child rearing in the area, in that place, and such as spending time with the child. It's very, very important to have quality time, to have a long-term effect of a child. Quality time, that's very important. It's let a child know that when you spend time with them, it's a message to your child. And let them know that you are important to them, they are important to you, and that you care about them. And it also encourages your child to talk to you about important issues, you know, and help you to convey your family values, what your rules are, what your lifestyle is, and to your child. It gives you that time to connect then. When you spend that kind of time with a child, a lot of times children, they have no child rearing because the parent is so busy working and being outside the home, to a lot of children and just left on their own raising themselves. And then they have no morals, they have no examples whether which way to go. And but the children who do not spend quite a time with their parents, they seem like, and they go other places to get that kind of attention. And 9 times out of 10, they seek attention from the wrong places. Sometimes that's how a lot of times children get connected, hooked up with people that who are in gangs, because they find that sense of false security, but to them it feels like it's welcome and put a little bit of false security. And it's because one thing about it, because that person is always there. That person who went over gain is always there for them. And they tell them, oh, I take care of you. Same thing it is when you have, like, even young girls, even boys, whatever, being out, going out and be in a line and even be used for prostitution or some kind of immoral act, because no kind of child rearing, no kind of time was spent with their child, and they find it elsewhere. And another thing is discipline. That's very important in child rearing. The Bible talks about that. And nowadays, we have a lot of controversies going on about what the Bible say and then what the law say. And I know we're supposed to respect and honor the laws of the land, and we should. But then anything that contradicts what the Word of God say, we foremost stand on the Word of God. You stand up for God, but you also stand up for you. But you have to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove when you come to things, because we're in the last days. And I know for the fact that a lot of people, even Christians, have found themselves even after going to jail for using their biblical rights and privilege, what they had to do based on their understanding how to discipline a child based on what's contradictory for what society says. But you just have to be there. No, I'm not nowhere supporting an advocate being for child abuse or neglect, abusing the child. But I'm just simply saying whatever works for you in your home, discipline your child that God can be glorified with, that's the method that you use. That's the method that you use. Have you ever went to a store somewhere in public and you see a child, I could say I'm just using about 4 years old, and that parent can't do anything with the child. The child throwing cereal all out the cart, putting things all up the shelf, and the parent just standing there. They just standing there begging them, Billy, I'm going to count to 10. They count all the way to 9. They get down to, okay, 9.5. Billy's steady throwing things around, and the parent can't do anything with them. They start back over to 1. And then it just happens to be such an embarrassing moment, you know, for that parent. And they wonder, well, how they got like that? How did children get like that? Because of lack of child rearing. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:13-14 says, withhold not correction from a child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm not talking about just get a big old whip or something, just beat a person down with a 2x4, nothing like that. But if you use a strap or something, they're going to discipline whatever it takes to maintain that flesh, that is not nothing of sense or to the form of abuse. You use that method, and I guarantee that it worked. It worked for me, and I'm sure it worked for a lot of people. And a lot of people still use that method as far as spanking a child. But then a lot of people, now I'm telling you, not telling you how to do how to discipline your child, getting what the Bible says. But I am going to tell you what the Bible says. And also in Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spares his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him. Promptly. And that means even us, the Bible says God chasing those that he loves. We are all God's children. The Christian believers, we God's children. And the ones who are unbelievers, you God's creation. And he chases us. It's not because it's that he don't love us, because he loves us. And something that he's trying to get our attention, whatever the way he might chase us, not saying he beat it with a rod, but he's doing something that's going to get our flesh back in track and let us know that something ain't going right. I'm doing something wrong. I need to get back in check. And also in Proverbs 22:15 say, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far away. I'm telling you, you get your Bible, you go before God in prayer, and you look up a lot of things. You look up the word rock, and I don't want you to mistake it. I'm telling you and trying to advocate saying, go get a big rod and beat your child. That ain't what I'm saying. And you get into your Bible, the word of God. God will tell us how we're to raise our children, how we're to discipline our children in a way that is right, in a way that is effective. And that's very important. We must discipline our children. And they say, a lot of times, like I say, a lot of times people don't believe in spanking children. That's fine, too. If you could count to 10 and it caused Billy to act right, that's your method. Use that method. Your time ain't nothing wrong with your timeout method if it caused Billy to do right, you know what I mean, and that it's healthy for him. And then it caused him, as he grow older, as she grow older, that it be effective, that God could be glorified in that way. And everybody saying just beating and abusing a child is always the answer. That's not always the answer. If you don't have to spank a child, that's even good. Any method that you could discipline your child with that effective, that God could be glorified, use that, but it must be disciplined. Even if it's just correction in words, you got to correct a child when they're going wrong. Sometimes we see children and people doing something wrong, we let them err in their way because we feel like we love them so much, we don't want to hurt their feelings. We give them things you know they shouldn't have because we don't want to hurt their feelings because they ask for them. We love them so much. They're just so pretty and precious. I just got to give it to them. But at the end, it hurts them. We must discipline our children in more ways than one. And another thing is self-esteem. When a child has healthy self-esteem, it's more likely that that child is going to be happy and be able to meet the challenges that he or she has as they grow up. But praising your children for their efforts and accomplishment, it sends a message for, you know, them that you support them no matter what. You know, even if they do something, they don't do so well on a task or something that they tried to do. But when you just praise them for, even for the effort, it makes them feel good. It builds up their self-esteem. That's a form of child rearing. That's a child of just discipline your child in that area, and then you know you're there for them. And that would build their self-esteem up, because when a person has low self-esteem, they criticize, and, you know, they don't have nobody having the respect for them. It's likely to develop, you know, low self-esteem in them, and it affects them feeling bad about themselves. It causes them not to have confidence in themselves and everything. So you just have to just also build their self-esteem, discipline the child, and spend quality time with them. Because when you don't, the negative part of that, it could also, we talked about the childhood depression, it caused them some time to go into state or wanted to commit suicide, and also it causes developmental disorder. Sometimes, you know, in their speech, you know, their motor skills and their body, they don't function right like they should. Even their thinking, it could be like that, off balance. And, you know, and another time they build a slowdown, when you have developmental disorder, it's also on the line of stopping the root problem of a child. But it not only affects that child with their developmental disability, it also affects the whole family. Everybody's affected in that family about that disability, whatever it may be, that child is dealing with. but it also could be even a blessing for that, because even when you're there for that child, even in the disability, it just caused, you know what I mean, everything to just go well, even with the child. And it could be a tiresome and overwhelming position and a chore, it seemed like a chore and a job for a parent. But when you just show love, you work together with them, and also you show that you care about that. Even though the child, even with disabilities and developmental disorders and stuff, they still have to be, in a way, to be disciplined, because a lot of times, because they may have a disability in their body and they function and stuff, but still in their mentality, they know right from wrong, and they still could be real the right way of saying what's right and what's wrong, yes and no, and understand that. You still have to real and chastise our children and also just for them, no matter what form they may be in, but we have to stay on the level, just like each of us being God's children. God be teaching everyone else where we are and what level we are. We have to do the same with our children. But we as being parents, we are responsible. That's our job, our God-given duty. God has blessed us with children to guide and lead them in the nurture of the Lord and the fear of the Lord the right way. And any form of fashion that God, that you may discipline your child and child rear, that God can be glorified in. That doesn't cause abuse, doesn't cause shame or harm to a child. That's the effective method. God bless you. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank Dr. Normail for giving us that vision and insight of the effectiveness of rearing problems, the effects of child rearing problems. And I'm quite sure that you, our radio audience, have truly been blessed on today. Yes, our topic was child rearing and parental guidance. We talked about the Bible and child rearing. We talked about the causes of child rearing and the effects of child rearing problems. We're going to ask that you come with us as we get ready to go before the throne of grace. And we want you also to know that everything that we discuss here on the Crossroad broadcast, we believe it with our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, because of the fact that we are Christian counselors and we counsel according to the Word of God. We counsel according to what God will have us to say and to do. And we have the best interest of your child and as the child and you as a parent or you as a teacher or you as maybe one of the teachers, or whatever you may be, our neighbor or friend. We want you to be able to grasp and to be able to help somebody else as well as helping yourself. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we're going to ask Dr. Gloria, our pastor, to come before, to take us before the throne of grace at this time. Dr. Gloria Castor.
Eternal God, our Father, oh, what an awesome and mighty God you are, and we thank you because you're so good. We ask you to forgive us of anything we've thought,
yes,
said,
yes,
or done that has not been pleasing to you. And, Father, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to speak on child rearing today, because you said, suffer the little children who come unto you and forbid you not. And then you also said that children are a blessing to the womb, and we know that children are a blessing that you have given unto us. So we ask now that something has been said, God, that will touch the hearts and minds of parents who might have had a question in their mind, what should I do? They might have seen some of the things that we have talked about today. Maybe they've seen that in their children, that it will give them some enlightenment on what they need to do. Bless them, Lord. Keep them and guide them. We thank you for each one of us today, God, that you impregnated us with a word to bring forth. Teach us, God, how to stay humble before you as we come before your people. We ask you to bless Dr. McCoy and Dr. Jean and everyone who has participated today, because we did it, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We would like to thank our radio audience for once again joining us. Please join us next Monday at the same time. May the Lord bless and keep you, is our prayer. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy and the Crossroad Broadcast Panel. Please feel free to come back, tell somebody else about this broadcast. that you too can be mighty blessed of the Lord. God bless you. And may God bless you to do it upwards.